Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all this morning. I want you to know there is no place I would rather be. I enjoy coming here so much. And seeing this at the last day of 2017, first day of the week for 2018, I would rather be here than anywhere else. It's a joy to be with you in the Lord. I want you to know that. Linda, in fact, I was looking so forward to this. It's a joy to be here. And so I decided to do a positive sermon today. This is kind of a Bible study. But folks, we've had probably one of the most interesting years I've ever seen. I don't think I've ever heard such wailing and gnashing of teeth and fears and anxieties than I have over the last year. And it's beyond political. It's beyond belief. It's everything you can imagine. I just couldn't believe it. So I thought that reminds me that we need to know that we have something that never changes in our lives. And that's the Lord God Almighty. He is our shepherd. And so I decided to do a familiar one to you. There isn't a one of you that haven't heard some preacher preach on the 23rd Psalm dozens of times. But it says so much, and this is going to be a sort of Bible study, but yet it's a what I would call a shallow Bible study. If we could get in depth, I would go over each word with you. But I'm just going to approach it from a Bible study viewpoint. And again, it's a joy to be with you today, and I have my hot green tea here, and it helps my throat on a day like this. It's just really cool. Well, my goodness, look at this. Long time no see. Hi. Oh, goodness. It's been 10 years or more. Nice to see you. All grown up. My goodness. So, this is my green tea, and I enjoy it. It's hot, and it kind of keeps my throat lubricated. Excuse me for this. So, let's begin. Nearly more than 20-something centuries, 23rd Psalm has been one of the most beloved passages in the Bible. I love it. There's only 118 words, depending upon your translation, that you use in this. And it goes to our very depth of our being. It tells us that it forms a foundation and a rock for all of us to sustain us in all phases of our lives. So, in beginning this new year, we have a decision to make. And this is an honest one for me as it is for you as well. Is the Lord God truly and honestly our guide? And I can honestly say that probably in not all facets of our lives is that the truth. So we need to ask ourselves each time we face some valleys, who really is our God? Our guide. Now, this whole passage is really a covenant. It's a metaphor. A metaphor that ends with a type of banquet where we're at a table. I don't think maybe many of us have approached it from that viewpoint. But it's an agreement and a covenant. And most times in the Middle East, when a covenant has been made, it is sealed with a type of meal at the end of it. And so this is a metaphor for all of that. It's an agreement. You've had it read to you. It's powerful. It's magnificent. So I'm going to kind of look to most of the verses of this and give you some depth. So most of us in the 21st century are city dwellers. The figure of a shepherd and the flock of sheep may not be really meaningful nor inspiring for us, yet I do not believe that we've had many questions in our time and many generations of time in which mankind is more of a flock needing a shepherd than we've ever been before. Mankind needs something. When you think of the troubles in our worlds and the problems that we individually and collectively face, then we're truly, I believe, like a flock of sheep. And this flock needs a shepherd, a true shepherd. Now, aside, shepherds in biblical times were considered in this writing kings who really led. So nearly five hundred times the Bible refers to the idea of a shepherd and his sheep. It's a favorite figure of speech in scriptures. This passage takes hold of us in a positive way, a faith-filled way, and a hope-filled approach to life. I don't know about you, but I need some real hope for this new year. This passage is constructive, it's optimistic, it's confident, and it's full of faith. So we're going to look at this passage and opening up the verses line by line. Verse 1, that opening line says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, mankind has sought for security down through the ages. A child stands close to his mother and finds her security. We were watching this little boy come up front this morning. Your child came up front to sit here. My wife was playing peekaboo with him. And he would look over and do this, and then he'd go running back to his mother every time. Folks, that's security. You're just so beautiful. He would look. He was curious, but he would look, and he'd go running back to his mother every time. That's magnificent. Recently, I saw a video of my new granddaughter. She was showing a smile and looking at her parents. What security is that? Is to know that we have someone who loves us that much. All through life, we strive for security in so many different ways. We guard our health. We save for our old age. We take out insurance. We long for security. But this passage indicates that a security that is forever and will not change isn't something that you gain through insurance plans or savings plans. So where do you look for your security? Folks, life is always changing. Even at my age, it just changes every day. And that which has worth does not change. So the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. And how true and very true that is. It's hard for me to understand this, but even before we began to exist, we good Presbyterians, God was aware of our needs, and He provided for them. He knew we would be hungry, so He provided seasons of the year and productivity of the soil to make possible the growth of food. He knew that we would be cold. Are you all cold? I don't even like going in my garage. It's so cold outside. But you know what? He's provided for us gas and oil and coal and power, those things which can keep us warm so that we might have that comfort in our lives. We're reminded of the passage in Matthew 6:8 where Jesus says, "Your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. He provided for our needs even before we ask Him." There's another passage in Psalm which David said, "I have been young and now I'm old." That is another way of saying God will take care of us, even though sometimes it's hard to see beyond the depth of our personal circumstances. In the great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus deals with so many things that we need to know about. And among those, He deals with anxiety. Anybody anxious today? I've been anxious a lot lately. I finished teaching my classes online, and I felt like my motor was still running. I felt anxious, like, I haven't done something. I haven't graded this yet, or I haven't done this yet. And it was finished, and grades were all turned in, and it was complete, but yet my motor was still running. I found myself anxious every time I completed something. Like you all know, this last year I completed huge projects. Well, that anxiety still built up in me so much. We have anxious lives. Well, this passage says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Do not be anxious for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, or what you should put on. Is not the life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Absolutely. So, verse 2, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." And by the way, green pastures, I love the song that was just recently sung, the last one, just fit right in. Green pastures is really a metaphor that all that makes life flourish. And the Lord wants us to have flourishing lives. The shepherd in Palestinian hills and plains would start his sheep very early in the morning. Oftentimes, 4 o'clock in the morning was not unusual. They would eat and move on and eat some more until the sun had warmed the land itself. By mid-morning, they would be hot and tired, and their stomachs would be filled with undigested grass. Now, I'm not a sheep specialist, But my understanding is that to drink water after eating was a most natural thing for them, yet the most dangerous. To drink while hot and to drink with a stomach filled with undigested grass would have meant disaster for the sheep. So the wise shepherd made the sheep lie down for a while, and then when they were cooled and rested and had chewed for a while, digesting the grass, they were ready to drink. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He would make them with full stomachs know that they shouldn't run and drink because it would make them sick. He caused them to lie down and to cool down. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Sometimes God slows us down, makes us lie down, in order that we might have some time to think about things more important than just the things of life. A period of downtime outside the race may be God wanting us to slow down. Are you feeling like you're in a race on a treadmill like a gerbil? You ever felt that before? I hate that. You're just pedaling away. You're running away. You're going nowhere. You're tired as all get out. You're in a race and you're exhausted. You ever feel that? Yeah, you do. Of course you do. Isn't it nice? And see, I grew up in Texas, South Texas, where it was just as hot as blazes. I mean, my wife looks at that and says, yeah. And I look at it, it's home. But it's just scrubs and brush and trees that are this tall. The telephone poles are bigger. Telephone poles are taller than the trees. And I remember what it felt like to have cool rain, refreshing coolness. And I understand when it says green pastures and refreshment, because I remember nothing but brown and heat most of my life. And so this always had a special meaning for me. And so when I think of the race that we're in, all of us, isn't it nice to have a downtime? You ever have a downtime? Somebody doesn't know what downtime is. You just run all the time. Do you know, I feel like I'm still in school. Still needing to learn. My battery's still running. Slow down, Bob. You've earned it. I have. I've worked hard. I have. Let me just slow down a little bit and lie down in the green pasture. So now, even in my retirement of sorts, I still like I'm running too fast. Folks, it's 31st. Slow down. Rest. You've got tomorrow and the next day to run again. Relax one day. He leads me beside the still waters in the second part of verse 2. The sheep, as you may know, is a very timid animal and he's afraid of rushing waters. He's smart. The sheep is not a good swimmer. The heavy wool on his back becomes so soaked with water, he can't swim. So he's frightened by rushing waters and seeks out very still, calm waters for a place to drink. The good shepherd guides him off into some area where the water is still and quiet and where he drinks. My wife asked me a joke thing the other day. She said, doesn't cotton shrink? How come sheep don't shrink when they get wet? Oh, come on, you have to enjoy that. Cotton is, okay. Wool, okay, wool. All right. Come on, I'm old. Give me a break. Wool. So wool shrinks a lot, all right? He restores my soul in verse 3. When David was young as a shepherd boy out in the hills, he was very close to God. God gave him the strength to kill a lion and a bear. God gave him the power to kill Goliath and to free the people of Israel. Then David moved into the big city. And he got busy with other things, and he was separated from God to a great degree. What was he doing? Let's see. We move into the big city. We go to school. We work. We seek power. We seek possessions. And we work all our lives to get all of those things and be so smart and educated. And then you get into your 70s, and you're so smart and educated, and I'm going, so what? Moved into the big city, folks. We can be distracted so very easily. So we got busy, and he was separated from God for a good while. He needed to be restored. Only God can really give you the restoration that he's talking about here. Nothing, no thing on this earth can give you permanent restoration. When the words come out, he restores my soul, means he really revives us. Folks, your degrees, your work, your possessions, your power positions will not revive you for very long. Are they nice? Are you blessed with them? Yeah, but they will not revive your soul to where your life has some meaning. I've heard so many people say they're looking for meaning in their lives, folks. Meaning in your lives means to use the gifts God has given you. Let him revive you. Bring you alive again. Biblically, it's called restore your soul. Isn't that exciting? You've got a new year ahead of you. 17 is going this way. 18 is out there. Let your soul be revived. Like a clock, man's spirit has a way of running down. I put this in here in this message today as I read it. I don't do good at reading, do well at reading. I am reading to you a part that I wrote in there purposefully, because I believe that like a clock, our spirit begins running down and needs to be rewound. I feel sure that after an incredibly complex year, one translation has it, he revives life in me again. Is your clock running down? And I swear I'm going to have to stop watching the news because I can't sleep at night after watching it. There just seems to be so much going on. So my clock needs to be rewound, and I'm making the decision to have a new year to where I feel like I've been revived. I feel like there's something new in me again. I want to put some of these things behind me, because this next verse, verse 3b, part of it says, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Did you know that a sheep really has no sense of direction? A dog or cat or a horse, even when lost, can possibly find their way home, but not a sheep. A sheep's eyesight is very limited. He sees only a few yards ahead of him. How like sheep sometimes we are. When you think of all the actions of life and how easy it is for us to get lost, how good it is to know that he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Our Lord guides us. And we too are nearsighted, have no sense of self-direction. So the Lord is the one who knows the way to guide us, because he knows what's best for us. And now in verse 4. Okay, with these things being true, David writes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now the valley of the shadow of death signifies any of the valleys of life, folks, and they are real. They're happening to all of us. Disappointment, illness, loneliness, age, death, or any of the other valleys through which man must go. We are in a real world. Yet David says, I will fear no evil because you are with me. As long as we're close to him, there's no valley through which we must go that can really take us down and hurt us for a long, forever time. Most people are frightened by the valleys of life, and that's only natural. I know times in my life where there have been great fears. This says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And then it goes on, because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, the sheep is a defenseless animal, has no talons, has no claws, and no means of fighting back. The sheep is an easy prey of the animals of the forest and the field. So the shepherd carries a rod with him. It's a heavy stick, 2 or 3 feet long, kind of a club. He also carries a shepherd's crook. It's about 8 feet long with a hook at the end of it. And with it, he can reach down and lift a lamb back onto the path. These are the only defenses for the sheep. Without these, he is defenseless. And the rod biblically generally stands for authority, and the staff stands for that which provides support and rescue. And these things comfort me, which means they rescue me and they reassure me. Now that's what our great shepherd has, is a club to protect us, authority, has a staff that is simply there to support and to rescue us, and they provide us with reassurance. Now in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is the covenant aspect. This is the conclusion of the agreement. Perhaps the figure has changed, but probably not. In Palestine, there were thorns that grew in the fields. Did you know that? And there were also poisonous weeds in the field. Did you know that Missouri has a law? And my sister and brother-in-law were telling me this, that there are certain weeds in their field that by law, they're poisonous. They must dig them up and burn them, lest it poison the animals that might eat them. Poisonous plants. We read that the shepherds, those who truly love their sheep, would go out in the spring, cut out the thorns and poisonous weeds and burn them. In a sense, they were preparing a table for the sheep, preparing a pasture that the sheep might graze in safety. Then you have anointed my head with oil, in verse 5b, with oil, my cup runneth over. In the figure of the sheep, the shepherd is continued. Then you think of sharp rocks over which the sheep pass, the occasional thorn, and cut the side of the face and the nose. In the evening, when the sheep would come into the safety of the sheep fold, the shepherd applies a healing oil to them. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup runs over. For a sheep, the cup would be a cup of pure, clean water after a day of walking on the hot, dry ground. And so the shepherd will put the oil of healing and give the sheep something cool to drink. And then in verse 6, with all this unfolding, David says the last lines of this great song, a word or two about what he intends and he hopes for the future. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. Think of all the terrible tragedies that have happened recently and may be looming on the horizon. We always hear of wars and rumors of war. Now we have Iran back on the table. We have North Korea always on the table. All of these things, folks, are frightening. I remember I was early in college for the Cuban Missile Crisis. I don't know if many of you remember that, but for the U.S., it meant we were on the doorstep of a third world war that was going to be nothing but tragic for the entire world. But David somehow says, I know all of that, but I have such a faith in my God that I surely believe that goodness and loving kindness will come my way. In the face of all of our dangers today, we also need this hope-filled, faith-filled attitude towards life. It seems all we talk about or read about or are looking at are the terrible tragedies of life, and they're real. We need to realize and truly believe in what really lasts, God's care for his people. It's on the same theme of faith and God's great love for his people that you can build a life. Fears and doubts tear a life to pieces, leading to frustration and ruin. You cannot build a life on fear. You can build a life on confidence and faith. Then comes the last great crescendo of self-declaration. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David is saying, in effect, I'm determined not to stray away. I'm determined to live in God's family. That last great determination is the determination that you and I need to have this day. David is getting ready to go home, to God's home. What a tragedy it is when people have no home or family. We're going tonight as a family, 12 or so of us, sitting on the back row. We're going to go see Star Wars. We're going to sit on the back row. They have the whole row of the theater. Right? So we're going to go sit on the back row. I mean, wow. Okay. So we're all going to sit there and watch the movie, and then we're all going to go over to the kids' house afterwards, and they got one of these huge Pac-Man things for Christmas. You remember Pac-Man? Sure you do, some of you. It's about big, and you sit on stools on either side of it. And they have all the Pac-Man games on and everything.
Wow.
You know, we're going to be all over that. That's going to be the rest of our night, playing Pac-Man and all of those things. We're going to get together as a family, you know? I just can't tell you how important family is. You know it is. How sad it is when people have no home or family. What a tragedy it is in life when about time when a person has no home to go to when life is over. But there's a beautiful thought in this last line. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There are three simple words which can serve to summarize the message of this great psalm. They're the words contentment, courage, and confidence. Contentment is registered in the opening line. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, I'm blessed, I've got so much, I need to be more content than I am. But there's a drive in me that always seems to want to do more. How about you? Second word is courage. It's shown in the middle passage as David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, we're all going to have to walk through valleys. But courage is shown in the middle of that statement. And finally, confidence. Concluding lines. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we close this study of Psalms, of this particular shepherd's song, I need to ask you what you feel in your hearts today. I need to ask you to believe in the true shepherd. Let him be your shepherd. Turn your fears of life to the one that can truly guide you. Fears are real. Dedicate yourself to living in God's way of being a part of his family. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this family. You all are special. It's a joy for us to come here every time. Then plan to confidently to go to live with God eternally. This new year, experience real contentment, real courage, and real confidence. God's truth is the way, and this house of God is a light guiding you along the way. This is a house of God. You are his people. So I'd like you, and I pray for you to have contentment. I pray for you to have courage. And I pray for you to have confidence in the 2018 that's right before us. You can do so much. I know the Lord will bless this house and continue to bless each one of you in his name. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we have a reassurance in this psalm. It's so familiar. But we're like sheep sometimes without direction, or we're running blindly forward and wonder why we sometimes fall short. Lord, I pray that you would help us to slow down. Take time to reflect and rest, to gain strength, and then to move forward boldly in your name into this new year. Using the gifts you've given us. Open the doors for us that we may enter. That we truly will have a direction and purpose. And not just say how smart we are, or how much we know, or how much we've achieved. But to have a true purpose that brings us to a fullness of life. That brings us into a complete family with you. Bless this house. Bless these people. Bless the pastors and the leaders. In thy son's name, amen. Amen. Amen.